Did you miss the headline and the top story of the day?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Don't worry, because we got you covered.
This is how we do.
It's the Cattles and Rami
Top Spot.
Coming up at 5:15, it's silly season already in the NBA offseason, and it's not even the offseason. And there's a trend in some of this silliness. We'll get to that.
Not that silly.
Coming up at it's silly. It's silly. Whitey, who's in for Nick today, Jay and Simone on the other side of the glass. In the top spot, we're going to peek west, we're going to peek east, and then we're going to look at maybe how the Kings approach things moving forward. And Whitey, a thought that you had about this Denver Nuggets team who sits now and waits for the winner of Heat and Celtics, which, again, we'll discuss in a moment. They tip off in just about a half hour from right now in Boston, which is this Denver Nuggets team even more dangerous with a championship, or maybe kind of satiated and don't have that unfinished business feeling heading into next season, so maybe a little less dangerous to the Kings and the rest of the Western Conference?
I would rather next year, if I'm the Kings or anybody else in the West, I'd rather be facing a Denver team that had won a championship, is dealing with that, and dealing with these
fat and happy.
Yeah, and it's difficult to get motivated to do it again. It's just human nature.
I think there is that human nature. There's also the human nature of maybe if you don't win it, the hangover, so to speak, of losing an NBA Finals, that combined with a long postseason while other teams are enjoying their off seasons and recouping and getting healthy and getting fresh again. That's always a challenge and a hurdle for the winner or the loser of an NBA Finals. But especially you throw in the deflating feeling of losing the biggest series of your life, and that can take the life out of some teams, and they never quite recover from it. I don't think it really matters, at least not for their best player in Nikola Jokic. I think win or lose or MVP or no MVP or Western Conference Finals Series MVP or championship or no championship, that dude is just going to show up and hoop. You know what I mean? I don't think he doesn't take too much or put too much stock in the awards. They asked him after the Western Conference Finals what the Magic Johnson trophy means, and he literally said nothing. The two MVPs he won, Denver Nuggets front office members had to fly over and deliver the trophy to him because he was like, I'll just grab it whenever I get around to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's that type of guy who I don't think gets too up or too down with the accolades or with the failures that might happen along the way. I don't think it matters at all for Nikola Jokic.
I would agree with you, and I think NBA teams and pro sports teams in general, but they tend to follow the lead of their best players,
yes,
especially in the NBA where you have fewer guys, and you have a coach there who clearly has buy-in from his team. They play hard, they defend, and that's why it's a guess, but I think if that team lost, I think they have the culture and the character where they would be more determined next year to go after it again than they would be if we actually did it, now what?
Meanwhile, the way that the conversation has flipped in the Eastern Conference Finals,
yeah,
Whitey, with just one game, they're still down 3-1, and the history still stands of 150 NBA playoff series that have gone to 3-0 going to the team that had the 3-0 lead.
Yeah.
You would think the Celtics were up 3-0 the way people are talking about it, the way Vegas has this thing scored. They were plus 750 to win the Eastern Conference Finals before Game 4 tipped off on Tuesday. When that game was over, they were up to plus 225 to win the series. It might be even money. If they win this series,
yeah,
if they win this series today, it might be even money at BetMGM and wherever else you can put down your wagers if you are so inclined. If the Celtics win game two, Whitey, how are you feeling? How are you looking at this series?
I think if the Celtics win tonight, I think they win the series.
Really?
Remember this Miami team, and bless them, and it's been incredible what they've been doing. Remember, they did not have a great year. They lost the first play-in game, and they were losing the second one to your beloved Bulls. They had to come from behind to win just to get in to the playoffs and out of the play-in. And here they are knocking on the door of the NBA Finals. Boston had an excellent season. They were battling for the top seed all year. They're a more talented team. So that's why people are now, they're looking for signs to believe in the Celtics, because it's so improbable that the Heat built up that 3-0 lead in the first place.
It tips the scales in favor of the Celtics. In your mind,
the Celtics
tonight,
are better.
They are the better team. That being said, I still look at it and say you have to win. I don't look at it as, you know, right now they have to win 3 games in a row. Or if they win tonight, they need to win 2 games in a row against Miami. I look at the totality of it, and I do think they're the better team, I think that, A, you have the coaching advantage in favor of the Heat with Spoelstra versus Mazzulla, and B, you have the absolute dog of a competitor in Jimmy Butler, who I don't think lets his team go down 4 times in a row. That's what it's going to take. I know we're only looking at 2 more games if Boston pulls this off, but the entirety of it, they're going to have to beat Jimmy Butler 4 times in a row. And unless he's just completely out of gas from the superhuman effort that has gotten him to this point, unless that's the case, I just personally can't see that happening. I'd put it at, now I would start to maybe believe it could happen if the Celtics win. I'd still say 60-40 Heat are taking this series, even if Boston wins tonight. I'd put it at 60-40 Heat.
I think if you're a fan of the Heat, and I know we talked today to Alphonse Sidney, who does a podcast on the Heat, and he said, I'm a fan, basically. He said he's not worried, but I think if you're a Miami fan, the way that last game went down, not only did the Celtics stay alive, but the way they beat the Heat, I think it would make you a little anxious.
And also, real quickly here, in the top spot, Cattles and Rami, Whitey in for Cattles. Nick will be back on Tuesday after the long weekend, for everybody asking.
So you say.
YouTube.com/SacktownSports. Hit those likes while you're there with your conspiracy theories on where Nick is and when he'll be back. Just hit the like button and the subscribe button, and you can say whatever you want, but, you know, throw out your conspiracy theories for Nick. I almost made a very, very reckless statement right there. But John Hollinger with a piece in The Athletic this morning talking about the NBA's summer of stuckness and how a lot of teams really don't have any roster flexibility, Whitey, because they've already mortgaged so much of their assets and of their future in the rosters that they have now. And there really isn't a lot of wiggle room. And he points to, well, Denver, but they're stuck in a good way. They like the roster and seem poised to compete for championships for years to come. Miami as well, although I don't know that anybody looks at them and goes, oh yeah, that's a powerhouse for years to come. But then what a lot of folks might have thought would work with DeJounte Murray teaming up with Trae Young in Atlanta has them sort of handcuffed. Brooklyn with James Harden and Ben Simmons and a number of contract and trade decisions that they've made that has them handcuffed. Dallas roster and salary wise is kind of in that stuck phase that Hollinger refers to. Golden State, the Clippers, Miami. He calls Minneapolis the capital of Stucksville. Ugh, Milwaukee,
terrible trade,
has invested so much of their future. Phoenix, and you look at that, Whitey, and while the thought of making some kind of big splash trade, we've talked about, you know, pair Kevin Huerter with a future first round pick or Davion Mitchell or something like that. Go out and get somebody who you can add to Domas and Fox. It's appealing and it's alluring, and star power is always something that's attractive to a sports fan or an NBA fan. But it's risky business too, man. It is risky, risky business to make these moves and invest those types of assets.
That said, if Boston is bounced tonight and Jaylen Brown is unhappy, wants out on the Kings, I'm doing everything I can to bring him here.
That's
and exploring all possibilities. It's probably not possible, but I would make sure it wasn't.
That's just the type of move we're talking about, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because right now, and they did trade next year's first-round pick, although it is top 14 protected. They traded next year's first-round pick to Atlanta in the Kevin Huerter trade. Other than that, I mean, you got a few seconds that are going to other teams and future drafts. But other than that, you pretty much have your first round picks for the foreseeable future. And Whitey, you never know in this league. Unless you, this is going to sound silly, you never know unless you know in this league. You know what I mean? There are known assets in this league. And if you can get one of those and add it to your tandem of Domas and Fox, okay, cool. But some of these moves, I just don't. Even Jaylen Brown comes with question marks. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And if the questions aren't answered the right way, there's no wiggle room. There's no way you can pivot or correct course on a plan that right now looks good on paper and is going well. But if you hit a wall with that roster in a year or two, you might just be stuck with that roster, crossing your fingers and hoping for the best.
If I would have to do that to bring in a guy that I know is a really good fit, I'd be willing to do that. Jaylen Brown, I'm kind of sorry I brought him up as an example, because it's just probably not going to happen. But a guy like, now Cam Johnson is a restricted free agent, and he's probably going to end up staying. I would give up a lot to get a guy like Cam Johnson, because he would make me better day one, and he would fit what I'm doing.
DeJounte Murray is a guy that he was traded for and has Atlanta in that type of situation. Now they might be looking to trade him and get some of those assets back. And a really talented young guy who can fill it up. But I just don't know that I'm going to make the same mistake that Atlanta just made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I'm thinking, oh, I can give up these assets, and this guy's going to unlock this team. And then he does it, and you're like, can somebody take him off our hands so we can hit the reset button on this again? You know what I mean?
I've always liked him, but the Spurs got rid of him, which surprised me. And then 1 year in Atlanta, and then they'd be wanting to move off of him. I'm not so sure.
Rudy Gobert is a guy that people think might be on the trade block again so they can recoup some of those assets. That's the position you find yourself in of these guys that you bring in who don't unlock the best version of your team.
Yeah.
Now you're going, okay, well, maybe we can deal them and get some of that back in return. That seems to really be your only way out of that hole that you dig yourself
into.
The
two teams you mentioned and Hollinger mentioned that I think we can say, that's all right, well done. Milwaukee, because they won a championship, and Golden State, who also won a championship.
We'll hit a quick break on the other side. It's not even the offseason. It is not even officially the offseason.
Here we go.
And people have lost their ever-loving minds talking NBA trade speculation. That's next.
Cattles and Robbie. Sactown Sports.
Thursday afternoon here on Sactown Sports. Jay on the ones and twos. Simone on the updates. Yes, Whitey in the co-host chair. I am the Rami in Cattles and Rami. Whitey, I am all for. Jay and Simone know this. I love what I call reckless speculation in the world of sports. Sports don't matter. They're entertainment and they're fun. And so why not just sit down here on the show or with your buddies and, why don't we trade this guy for that guy? You know, why don't we go sign that guy? To me, that's part of the fun of being a sports fan, is the whole armchair GM angle of things, right? I love that. I enjoy it. But and especially once the off season starts, cool, fine, whatever. Let's do it. And let's even get a little silly. Let's get a little crazy with it. You know what I mean? But it is May 25th, Whitey, and people have already lost their minds. Nick Wright, who I like of Fox Sports and First Things First, he proposed this trade yesterday for some reason, and you've brought this up. Get LeBron James in a Golden State Warriors uniform. This seems to be something that people really want to make happen. The trade was LeBron James going to Golden State for Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga, and Moses Moody. Why am I doing that?
That's really stupid. That's incredibly stupid.
Why am I doing that? That makes absolutely no sense. Then It was almost like his Fox Sports cohort, Colin Cowherd, couldn't be outdone, could not be one-upped in coming up with a silly LeBron trade to get him into a Golden State Warriors uniform. So he came up with this.
Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer reports, LeBron to the Warriors is something people are talking about. Now, I know what you're saying. Come on, Colin. Did you have a daiquiri before the show? Come on. You know that deep breath I told you to take? Take another one. We looked it up this morning. Wiggins, Kuminga, and Jordan Poole. It works. With Rui and AD. Oh, time out. It really works. So my wings would be Rui, Wiggins, and Kuminga. I'll sign up for that. Youth, coachable guys, ascending. My big would be AD near the rim. My guards would be no ego Austin Rivers, the grinder. little bit of ego, lot of attitude, Jordan Poole. Austin Reeves, excuse me, and Jordan Poole. I can live with that. I mean, the Lakers owner and the GM have had to relinquish power to LeBron James.
You would sign up for that, Colin Cowherd? Really? You would sign up for that? Your wings being, what do you say, Rui, Wiggins, and Kuminga? Instead of having LeBron James? LeBron Raymond James. The first or second best player in the history of this league. And you would sign up for that instead of having that? You think he's I love how, and it's part of the magic of a Colin Cowherd, where he makes it sound like, oh yeah, this works. You know, oh yeah, it works. Wiggins, Kuminga, and Jordan Poole, it works. No, it absolutely does not work on any plane of existence that we live in or live on. It makes no sense whatsoever for the Los Angeles Lakers to make that trade.
Yeah. Does he just mean technically, you know, as far as the finances?
He put it in the trade machine? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. By the way, I did one of the trade machine today, which maybe we'll get to. It would bring LeBron James here.
I do want to hear it.
To Sacramento.
Why not? We're getting crazy.
Hold on. I know what you're saying. Why did you have a daiquiri?
Take a deep breath.
But here's the thing, and you're right. Of course, it's fun. But if you really care about what's going on, just be really careful about, you know, really listening to what people say. Because I just heard, thank you, JJ, for playing that, and we heard Colin Cowherd say, Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer reported this is something people are talking about.
Yes.
That's what he just said.
Yes.
Well, remember, I wrote this down because I read it the day he wrote it. Kevin O'Connor, this is what he wrote.
Didn't I tell you not to do that? Didn't I tell you were going to manifest it and speak it into existence?
But
now here we are. It keeps on picking up more and more steam.
But there's a huge difference between what he wrote and what Colin Cowherd said he wrote. Kevin O'Connor, interest between LeBron and Warriors could be mutual. That's what he wrote. I kid you not. I wrote it down. Interest between LeBron and Warriors could be mutual. And so what did Colin Cowherd say? Kevin O'Connor says, this is something people are talking about. No, that's not what he said at all. It's not close to what he said.
That's how this happens, though. That's how this happens.
Yeah,
it starts as a tiny little snowball, and it starts going downhill.
And it just
picks up more and more weight.
It's fun. If you want to have fun, great. But if you really care about what's going on, just be really careful anytime you hear somebody say, this is what someone reported. Because in this case, no, that's wrong.
Meanwhile, just wanted to throw this in there as well while we're talking about silly trades. The trend, and I tweeted this today, the trend seems to be this offseason, how can we help the Warriors? Like, what can we do? What can we do to help? And, like, the whole NBA is just going to all get together and, hey, how do we help the Warriors get good again?
They get good ratings.
This was from Kelly Eco, who covers the Houston Rockets for The Athletic, and they proposed this trade. The Rockets get Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga, while the Warriors get Kevin Porter Jr., Jayshon Tate, KJ Martin, number 4 pick in 23, first round pick in 25, and a first round pick in 27. Why? Why do you do that? Why would you possibly do that? Why would anybody
do
again?
That? Why would I? Who?
If you're the Rockets for Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga, oh, let me take your disappointment off your hands for you. And here's a whole basket full of assets that'll make you a better basketball team for the next decade or so. Here, why don't we do that?
Yeah, I guess the thinking is the Warriors are with their backs to the wall. Financially, they got to get rid of some guys I wouldn't want to get rid of, but I'm with you. I guess I'd rather have Jordan Poole than Porter Jr., but the rest of it, that's one of those. That's really, the Rockets aren't giving up a lot there, especially if they're going to be any good. Some of those picks will not be.
But they're getting Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
Guys who have been just disappointments for Golden State.
I know.
Kuminga, since being drafted, and Poole got the bag and then decided to stop scoring the basketball for some reason and just looked completely lost.
No, you're right.
For the entirety of a playoff run.
That's a ridiculous
run.
Trade. This one is much better. Rashawn Holmes, Kevin Herter, and Harrison Barnes to the Lakers for LeBron James. It works.
Yeah. Take a deep breath, but it works. No, it doesn't. That absolutely does not work. Stop it. Or don't. It's almost the offseason. Keep it going. Give us something to talk about. Right after this, it's the
phone is ringing.
And we are checking to see who's on the line.
Long time listener, first time caller.
News, gossip, a story. Okay, who's the next victim?
It's the callback
on Cattles and Rami.
Eastern Conference Finals about to tip off from Boston. Game 5. I almost said game 3 for some reason. Game 5 of that series between those two teams. And the Celtics trying to pull off a miracle. The impossible, if you will. What has not been done in 150 attempts, which is to come back from an 0-3 deficit. And the Heat will be without shooting guard Gabe Vincent for this one. And if you haven't been watching the NBA playoffs religiously, you might not realize just who Gabe Vincent is and what he's been doing for the Heat.
I have been watching, and I didn't realize he was shooting the ball as well as you detailed earlier.
17.5 points per game to Marcus Smart, his counterpart's 9.8 points per game, and shooting splits of 58, 50, and 94. Woo. But Vincent will be out with an ankle injury, and we asked our guest in hour one of the show, Alphonse Sidney of the Five Reasons Sports podcast, who's going to fill in for Vincent.
It's interesting because, like, whatever you think Spo's going to do, he's going to do something different, right? So yeah. I can lie to you and say the easy plug and play is Kyle Lowry, right? Kyle Lowry started most of the season before he got injured. That just makes a whole lot of sense. But you could also see, like, hey, why not go with Caleb Martin? Caleb Martin's playing out of his mind. You have a primary ball handler in Jimmy Butler. You've also seen what Kyle Lowry does with the second unit all playoffs long. Do you want to disrupt that chemistry? But part of that chemistry is having Caleb Martin on the bench. So there's a lot of different things they could do, right? And then who else takes the minutes? There's Haywood Highsmith, who hasn't gotten a lot of minutes off the bench. Not a lot of people are familiar with Haywood's work, right? And rightfully so, because he's Haywood Highsmith.
How do you think they handle it tonight, Whitey? And how big a loss is it? When we're talking about this series and you and I are both saying Boston is the better team, but Miami is winning on the margins. The margins get that much smaller when you lose a guy who's been doing what Gabe Vincent has been doing for this basketball
team. Yeah, and sprained ankle, you know,
it doesn't mean that he rolled it in the corner. It looked ugly.
I mean, his availability may be compromised for the rest of the series as long as it lasts. I thought it was interesting. I guess it was a tribute to Tina Turner when they asked Spoelstra today who's going to be in the starting lineup, Kevin Love, and he said, "What's Love got to do with it?" So I thought that was very appropriate, and I applaud him.
He also said, "I don't give a bleep," which seems to be their mantra when asked about people flipping the script and picking the Celtics to come back from 0-3. Literally said, "I don't give a bleep." And speaking of Eric Spoelstra, I think most people, including our guest Alphonse Sidney, look at this and go, okay, that's one place where the Heat have a clear-cut advantage.
Been huge, right? And it's a lot of it is not just Spo just so much smarter than Mazzulla, right? It's a lot of it is like Spo's been here before, right? Spo isn't afraid to lose his starting point guard in the conference finals. Spo's not afraid of a 21-2 run because they're just going to come back with a 19-2 run. One of the things he does for this team is that he settles them down, right? He doesn't panic. They're not, you know, there's not a situation that he hasn't seen, and he has them really, really prepared. And another thing he does great is adjustments, right? If something's going wrong, Spo will completely abandon the game plan and just, okay, the zone isn't working, we're back to man, right? They're killing our high pick and roll, let's do something else. So he has the experience that he's not going to get rattled in these situations. Joe Mazzulla, we've seen at times, he looks like a deer in the headlights. Like, he looks like he literally has no idea what's happening. He has no idea what to do. I mean, he threw a clipboard in game one. Who throws a clipboard in game one of a series? That is such a rookie coaching mistake. That is a game four move. You don't do that in game one.
He's right. You don't pull out the big guns of throwing the clipboard in a game one, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Eric Spoelstra is a genius, man. He's a straight-up genius. And whether we're talking about, he mentioned the adjustments, and I remember reading a tweet in Game 3, Whitey. I forget the way that it played out, but it was either the first and the third quarter or the second and the fourth quarter, one of the two. They played zero zone. And then in the other two quarters, that they played almost entirely zone. You never know what Eric Spoelstra is going to throw at you, and it seems like he's always pushing the right buttons and pulling the right strings for a team that, again, we agree is not the most talented team on paper in the Eastern Conference or the NBA, and yet somehow, some way, they keep making these runs. And yes, Jimmy Butler, but also Eric Spoelstra is the other consistent thread in these runs that they keep making.
The weirdest thing about this series to me is this, and I know we got a lot of drama left, most likely. Mm-hmm. Boston's back home tonight. But Boston, as we mentioned during the crossover with J-Ross and Chris, Boston at home in the playoffs. So they're back home. Watch out. They're 4-5 at home in the playoffs. Wow. And last year they were 6-6 at home. And you go back to the 2018 Eastern Conference Finals. Since then, they're 13-14 at home in the playoffs. And you throw out the first round where That's they've had ridiculous. Some sweeps and they played some lesser teams throughout the first round. 5-12 since 2018 in playoff home games outside of the first round.
That is ridiculous.
Yes!
That's silly. You got to take care of home court better than that if you're the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. One more question we had for Alphonse Sidney, and it's been hard. It's been hard to pick this series. You just never seem to know which way this thing is going to go, including if you're Alphonse Sidney and you cover the Heat for a living.
To be honest, I have no clue. Because, like, if it's the Heat team from the Bucks series, I feel great about them. If it's the Heat team from two nights ago, I don't feel great. If it's the regular season Heat team, it's a sweep in Denver, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't, like, the one thing I've not done is make a bunch of predictions coming into these series. Because I just like the rest of America, I don't know which Heat team is going to show up. I'm starting to believe more and more, right? And as a cocky fan, yeah, I want to say they'll take the Nuggets down in six. I have no idea. Jokic is terrifying. I have nightmares about Jokic, right? So I honestly, Bam does a great job against opposing centers. Jokic gives him fits. He can literally do nothing against Jokic. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, what are you going to throw Kevin Love on him? I mean, so it's this proposition is really scary, but listen. We never thought as Heat fans, as a Heat fan base, we were even going to get in past the play-in tournament. So everything right now is cake.
Everything is cake at this point. And both these teams do have sort of a Jekyll and Hyde trait to them. The game just tipped off a few minutes ago. Jaylen Brown already launched an air ball from three.
Oh, right?
You just don't know.
Yeah.
That could be the whole first quarter, and then in the second quarter, he can't miss.
I was listening on SiriusXM to the final game of the Celtics and the Sixers, driving back from the Bay Area on what I think that was a Sunday, and the Boston announcer says first quarter, he goes, boy, both these teams have been really up and down in this first quarter. And I thought, I think that's every game I've seen this year in the playoffs, no matter what series we're talking about. Everybody's been up and down in every game for the most part. It's been crazy and really hard to predict.
And who people are picking seems to keep on swinging one way or the other.
Yeah.
I saw Charles Barkley just guarantee again that this series is going back to Miami.
Guaranteed!
All right, man. I don't know how you can guarantee anything in this series, the way that it's gone, Whitey. We have a couple minutes here in the segment. Why don't we take Mitch, who wants to talk some NBA real quick. Mitch, what do you got?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Thanks, Dave McCoy. It's been some series. I love this talk that Seth is having right the way they want. They should be against the Wolves. It's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's get over with this week. If there's a chance that Carmelo Anthony has his number retired, two different teams. Denver, different numbers. And Denver's had a local play. Nobody's mentioned Ronnie Rogers or is it Kiki Bandaway? I believe he played before Ronnie Rogers. Ronnie Rogers is a pretty good player. I remember when they had that upset, they had that good run, Roger Pack. I'm trying to remember the field. Mutombo.
Robert Pack, yeah.
Robert Pack. That was the weekend my daughter was born. We had the TV right there on the screen, delivery remote.
Mitch, thanks for the call. I don't know about Ronnie Roberts. How do you feel
about Ronnie Rogers?
Ronnie Rogers.
Kiki Bandaway is better than Ronnie Rogers, I think. But I don't think.
How do you feel about Carmelo Anthony, Whitey?
I'm not the biggest fan, and I don't think people in Denver are either. So I don't know that he's ever going to. It'll be interesting to see if they, honor him in some way, shape, or form during these finals, since he just announced his retirement.
Top 75 player?
No.
Carmelo
Anthony? No. No. He didn't make my list. No. No.
Who's on that list, Whitey, in front of him?
Give me all 75. Well,
I
mean,
give me all Clay, 75. I need it.
Clay's out. Clay didn't make it, and Carmelo did. No. Carmelo was a prolific scorer. He was not very efficient. That's all.
So you think Clay? You would take Clay Thompson over Carmelo Anthony?
In the yes.
Yeah,
I blink, not Clay now, but, you know, Clay before
prime
he got
Clay.
Hurt.
Prime Clay, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, great shooter. He'll give you some defense. Carmelo wasn't giving you any defense.
Carmelo was not a great shooter, and he would not give you defense.
I might take Clay over.
Yeah, I'd take Carmelo. Clay. They both top 75.
Okay.
Oh, he did make top 75? Clay Thompson?
No, he
did
no,
not.
I'm no, I'm saying they oh, both, okay. they
You're
both
saying
should be
both,
top
they
75.
Both should be. Yeah, I could see that. See, we found common ground here.
There we go.
On the Cattles and Rami show. That's what we do. Right after this, we will wrap up the show. And Patrick Mahomes, some interesting comments about today's quarterbacks in the NFL. That's the show. Final segment. Cattles will be out again tomorrow. Let me just head that off at the pass before those conspiracy theories continue. He is out again tomorrow, back on Tuesday. And we can't wait to get Nick back in the chair. Our thanks to Whitey Gleason. Who has
you
said,
not stop pretending.
You aren't helping. You aren't helping with stuff like that. We do miss Nick and can't wait for him to get back on Monday. And no, not fired, not suspended, not in a fight with me or anyone else on the show. Just had some business to take care of on the home front. And he will be back on Tuesday after the long Memorial Day weekend.
I heard Rami took his hat off and he didn't appreciate it and things.
Just snatched it off his head.
Yeah.
All right.
Not helping, Whitey. Not helping.
Not helping. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
You heard that
Kevin
nowhere.
O'Connor in the Ringer says it's what people are talking about.
Sources say.
Yeah.
No, that is not what happened. But things are pointing up for Nick Cattles, and he will be back on the show and with us on Tuesday. Patrick Mahomes, Whitey, he's a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
One of the best I've ever seen. Maybe
My
even.
My big boy did what he always do.
And I'm not saying GOAT, okay, so don't take it the wrong way, but I'm just saying, like, if you dropped him at peak ability, which I don't even know if we've seen yet, he might still be getting better, which is the scariest thing. Patrick Mahomes at his peak might be the greatest quarterback to ever play the position. He has to put together the resume to pass to people who are at the top of that list, whoever you may think that is. But
Do you have a comp for him? Someone asked me for a comp.
I really don't.
Once.
I don't.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
I've never seen anything like this. 3 years ago. I said, and it's not perfect, but I said Elway. In a lot of ways, he reminds me of it. I know he's better than Elway ever was, and Elway was great. But that's really the guy that comes to mind if I had to find a comp for him.
Well, Patrick Mahomes seems to think that he's just part of the evolution at the quarterback position and a constant arrow up at the quarterback position. He was talking to Complex Magazine, and he said, I would say maybe top to bottom. You look back, and you got like Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, freaking Troy Aikman, Elway. There's been some Hall of Famers that have all played in the same era, but I think top to bottom – it's hard to find a spot on any team where the quarterback's not a guy that you can see win playoff games. And I think that's made it so special. I think that comes with development, coaching, and evolution of the quarterback position. So I definitely think it's a golden era for the quarterback position. Maybe we don't have those Hall of Fame guys yet at the top, but 1 through 32, I mean, there's quarterbacks that don't even get a chance to start that are great players. He said more than that, and I'll read a couple more of the comments, but Whitey, a golden era for NFL quarterbacks, would you say?
Maybe. It depends what happens with Jalen Hurts, for example, or even, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Maybe. I mean, could be on that track. And, you know, when you qualify when you say a golden era, but, you know, Kyler Murray is, I don't know, you know, what we're going to end up thinking of him. So I would say it's potentially, yes, but I wouldn't say right now, oh, yeah, rubber stamp it. Golden era quarterbacks right now. A golden era. I'm not there yet.
He says there is like 10 top five quarterbacks, which I'm doing the math, and I don't think that works. He said, but I mean, you got to look at the track record the last few years. You got me, which I love that he just throws himself.
And he should.
You got me. You got me as the great quarterbacks in this league. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen.
Joe Burrow.
You got Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, who's coming up strong after this season. I'm sure he'll be even better next year. You got Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert. I mean, there's so many quarterbacks. I don't want to just name five, but I mean, even the guys that are injured. You got Kyler Murray coming off injury. You got Russell Wilson, who can have a bounce back year. Aaron Rodgers. There's so many quarterbacks in this league, it's hard to put five. And I guess the best thing about this league is you have the top five quarterbacks this year, and the next year, it could be completely different. And when he goes through the names, as he does, Whitey, it's hard to argue with what he's saying. I mean, all those, every guy he named right there, Burrow, himself, Allen, Lamar, Hurts,
Kyler?
Lawrence, Herbert, I'll get to Kyler Murray in just a second. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and I was going to say, some people will have the reaction that you did to Kyler Murray.
And Trevor Lawrence already?
I'm a big Trevor Lawrence guy, and I think more people are after last year, and I think his trajectory is upward after he got away from Urban Meyer. But when it comes to Kyler Murray, and I don't want to make this whole segment a Kyler Murray debate. He had the things swirling around him that he did last year as he was trying to get the contract, and then he had the injury. But I think people forget that Kyler Murray, 2 years running, was the front runner for MVP for about 8-10 weeks of an NFL season before injuries derailed and sidelined him. And you might say that that'll continue to happen because he's small for the quarterback position and for the sport. But when Kyler Murray is right and playing the position at a high level, he plays it at a really, really high level. But going back to what I was...
Kyler Murray's dead to me because he could have been the center fielder for the A's and he decided to play football.
I get that. But like I said, when you go through the names, it's hard to argue that it is a golden era of quarterbacks in the NFL. But I think you also have to factor in a number of things. Like if you took a Dan Marino and put him in this era, or if you took a Joe Montana or Terry Bradshaw, or Troy, the guys he names, Elway, Troy Aikman, and put them in this era, there's a couple things, well, three things really, that quarterbacks of this era have that quarterbacks of previous eras didn't. One is something that all athletes have working in their favor over athletes of previous eras, which is just we know more now. You know what I mean? In terms of nutrition, sports science, exercise, everything else. We know more. So we keep churning out better athletes, bigger, stronger, faster, whatever the case might be. And we'll continue to do that as we learn more about the human body and how to maximize it.
You're saying like Super Bowl I at halftime, the picture of Lenny Dawson smoking a cigarette and drinking a Fresca. Because I don't think they have Fresca anymore, but we're not going to see that anymore.
No, we're not going to see that. The other thing that quarterbacks today have going for them that others don't is all the rules changes.
Absolutely.
That the NFL has put in.
It's now illegal to tackle the quarterback.
Because offense, people like, you know, scoring, and it gets ratings, and so they're going to make it easier for teams to throw and score and move the football. But also, beyond that, Whitey, and people are going to roll their eyes when I say what I'm about to say.
I'm going to roll my eyes now.
And you hear it more in basketball and especially in baseball than you do in football, but analytics has changed this game, man, and has changed the way that offenses are designed, has changed the way that quarterbacks are coached, and the way that quarterbacks play. I remember reading an article a few years ago about how they've literally taken options away from quarterbacks in terms of route trees that they have receivers running on certain plays or whatever the case might be. They've taken options away from quarterbacks because they've seen the percentages of how often that might work and how often it might turn into an interception or a turnover of some kind. You know what I mean? Analytics have favored offenses and have favored quarterbacks and passing games more in the NFL than they have anywhere else in terms of removing risk for quarterbacks that was built into offenses in previous eras.
Can I give you a golden age of quarterbacks? And this wouldn't be my personal one, would be earlier. So this isn't like this was my time. 1993 passing yards NFL. Number one, John Elway. Number two, Steve Young. Number three, Warren Moon. Number five, Jim Kelly. Number six, Brett Favre. Number 10, Troy Aikman. Number 18, Joe Montana. That's a golden age of quarterbacks.
It's hard to argue with that. Our thanks to Alphonse Sidney of the Five Reasons Sports Podcast, who joined us to talk some Heat and Eastern Conference Finals. Also, Jerry Reynolds, Kings legend, who joined us. If you missed either of those or anything on today's show, SacktownSports.com, YouTube.com/SacktownSports. Give us those likes and also the Sacktown Sports app. For Whitey, Simone, Jay, I'm Rami saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow starting at 2.